John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I want to read the words of Christ in verses 16 through 19. So John chapter 3, starting at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Father, we do thank you again for the morning that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to sit together collectively as a church, as a body of believers. Lord, to sit before you wanting to hear from heaven, we do ask that you guide our thoughts. Father, you guide our hearts, speaking to us the things we need to hear this morning, reminding us of what we need to remember, teaching us what we need to learn, guiding us according to your will and our good. Father, I ask that you would rebuke the devil on our behalf, Father, that the seeds that are sown in our hearts by you this morning would not be snatched away by the devil. They would not be thrown away or cast away by our own selves, Father, being distracted, Lord, having our thoughts somewhere else. But Lord, this morning we would come before you and say, Lord, here am I, as Samuel heard his voice or heard his name being called several times and finally said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Father, we want to hear from heaven this morning. We want the children to continue to hear from you through the word that's being taught to them. We pray the word of God would take root in their heart. We ask it take root in our heart this morning. Father, thank you for the freedom that we do have in this country to openly, publicly come together, to assemble in a place publicly, to worship you publicly, to pray openly, Father. Lord, we ask that you would continue to help us, Lord, to fight for that freedom and to pray for that freedom. But Lord, more importantly, thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, may we cherish that freedom that we have. The bondage of sin's been broken. Help us, Lord, not to allow ourselves to be yoked up anymore in this world, but Lord, to cleave unto you. Father, I ask that you'd speak to our hearts in a very special way today, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us just about the topic or the subject of whosoever. Again, as we celebrate as a country Memorial Day, it's not about the barbecues. It's not about the family gatherings. It's not about the day off from work and getting paid for a holiday, but it is a day to remember that lives were willingly put on the line. Lives were lost at the beginning of this country and throughout this country being born a nation. Lives have been lost because of something they believed in. Again, if you believe in something wholeheartedly, you give your life to it. And Jesus wholeheartedly believed in dying for the sins of the world, and that's why he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and nothing was going to deter him from completing the Father's will. That is why he had joy before him as he endured the shame of the cross, because not only was he going to be back in the Father's glory at the right hand, but the sin debt would be paid for, the way would be open for us to boldly come to the throne of grace to ask for help in time of need, and we would have our sins paid for. No person will stand before God because of their sin and be rejected. Those that will not be allowed into heaven will not be allowed because they rejected Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean we continue to sin, but what I want us to understand this morning is that anybody can be saved. Anybody can be saved. Obviously, the disciples asked, you know, because Jesus said it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. They said, well, who can be saved then? And obviously, Jesus made that great statement, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. This morning, I want us to be reminded All right? Again, nobody puts their life on the line unless they really love what they may die for. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 reminds us, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus did not die for those that loved him, but for those that hated him. God loves us. He didn't wait for us to love him before he loved us. We love him because he loved us. And how do we know that he loves us? Well, because his love was manifested on the cross of Calvary. The songwriter Frederick Lehman wrote these words to a song entitled The Love of God. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. We can't properly comprehend the love of God. Now, the love of God is manifested to us through Christ. His love is manifested each day of our life, but to really try to wrap our mind around the scope of God's love, the fact that God could still love someone who spews his name out as a derogatory word, someone who throws their fists at him and says, if you're God, do this. And he still allows them to breathe. I mean, we cannot fathom the love of God, but we know that Scripture says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God's not willing that any would die in their sins. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, and whosoever is just that, whosoever will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Begin reminding ourselves, because we need to. It doesn't matter if they continue to tear down statues in our country that are memorials to what the country was founded upon and those that fought for the freedom of the country and things like that. It doesn't matter what groups rise up and want to tear down and burn down and destroy important documents. The memorial that's in your heart should never be destroyed. You should have that memorial that, you know what? I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I know that God sits high and lifted upon his throne. And I know that I'm a child of God. And that can never be destroyed. That can never be burned and never be taken away from me. Don't allow yourself, as many are being taught in schools and in this nation, there is no God, there is no Jesus Christ. His word is not true. It cannot help you. Don't allow yourself to be fooled by that lie and to have your life destroyed by that lie. Have a memorial in your life that, you know what, you know that you are a child of God. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. Doesn't matter what somebody says. I know I'm a child of God because I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. Again, Jesus didn't come to destroy the world. He came to save the world, he says as he speaks to Nicodemus. But I want you to see in verse 16 and 17 that Jesus did reveal his love, or God revealed his love to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Many families have given their sons and daughters to our military to protect, to stand up for what they believe in. And again, there's many that have laid their life down for what they believe in. And God, believing in you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die in your place, a place that neither you or I could take or fulfill, but Jesus could. Jesus could, and no one can ever convince me that he didn't die for my sins. That doesn't mean that I continue to live in sin, because even Paul addresses that and says, you know what, shall we continue in sin that the grace of God abound? Because where sin aboundeth, grace doth much more abound. He says, no, God forbid. We don't continue in sin because of God's grace, right? Because of God's grace, we should not continue in sin. But you know what? When you're thankful for what someone has done, if you've ever been saved out of a burning house or saved out of a wreckage, automobile wreckage, you kind of are endeared to the one who saved your life. You kind of feel like you owe them your life. Like, man, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be alive. And you think about, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have a home in heaven. I wouldn't have a life worth living. I wouldn't have joy that passeth all understanding. I wouldn't have an inner peace that helps me through the storms of life if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and God revealing his love through that sacrificial gift. That sacrificial gift of giving his son. Somebody once said that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And because God loves, he gave his only begotten son. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 remind us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We ought to be thankful this morning that God didn't wait for us to become good, to die for us. I remember asking somebody one time to come to church, and they said, well, I gotta change some things in my life before I can, you know, come into church. I've even had someone say, you know what, if I were to step in that building, you know, the roof would cave in because I'm so sinful. They just don't understand the grace of God that, you know what, while we were yet sinners. You know what, before we even committed our first sin, Jesus died. He died so that we would have a way to heaven. He died so that, you know what, there was nothing standing in the way of that free gift. There's no sin that can keep a person from getting saved. He died for all sin. Again, everyone has that free will and that free choice to accept that gift, but it was a sacrificial gift. Jesus was willing to be the lamb slain from the foundation. He was willing to sacrifice his life. Can you imagine, again, as Romans says, peradventure, some would even die for a good person. Again, there's not a parent in here probably who wouldn't put their life on the line for their child. And you saw a speeding car coming that wasn't stopping, and one of your kids was in the road, you probably would like do the best you could to run and like shove them out of the way to be in their place. But to die for someone who would use your name as a curse word, to die for someone who would spit on your name, to die for someone who would rip your beard out, scourge you, beat you, mock you. I don't know of anyone who would do that. Die for someone who hates your guts and wants to see you dead. But Jesus Christ did. And even hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God revealed his love through the sacrificial gift. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God manifest in the flesh. Don't tell me God doesn't love you. He manifested his love in a powerful way. And not only was it a sacrificial gift, but it was an atoning gift. He didn't just sacrifice himself to do it, but it was to atone us for our sin. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I'm glad the riches of his grace is not limited. It's not limited to a select few. It's not limited to the good. It's not limited to the religious, but it is for all who will see themselves and admit, I need a Savior because I cannot save myself, but his atoning gift. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Don't ever forget that God loves you so much that he reconciled you unto himself the only way that he could, through his son Jesus Christ. The only way he could reconcile me and you to him was for him to lay down his life, for him to shed that innocent blood, for him to be laid in that borrowed tomb so that he could rise again 3 days later. He did it because of his love for his creation being mankind. But you know what? Even though God has revealed his love, mankind still rejects it. People still reject the love of God. But people will still come like the rich young ruler and say, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? There has to be something I have to do. You know what? I'm glad when people do things for me. I'm glad when I don't have to do something and someone does it for me. I mean, when someone says, hey, Pastor, I'll do this. I don't, no, I want to do it. I'm like, okay. If my kids come to me and say, we want to clean the house, I'm not going to be like, no, I want to do it. I'm going to be like, taking their temperature. Are you guys okay? You want to clean the house? But right, if somebody wants to do something, you more than willing, you're like, yeah, go ahead. But there are those that just reject and they hate God's love. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. That light being Jesus Christ. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You do have a select few that hate the freedom that our country has, and they want to destroy that freedom. And you also have a select few that hate the freedom of Jesus Christ, and they want to destroy everything that is about Jesus Christ. But listen, you can't destroy Jesus Christ. Our country was founded upon the principles of God. Our country was founded as a free country that whosoever wanted to come and live a free life in the pursuit of liberty and happiness, they were welcomed. But you always have those that want to come and disrupt that, destroy that, and put people in bondage. It's the same spiritually. As Jesus Christ came and liberated and has set free and has redeemed us, you have someone who's always wanting to put us back into bondage. Someone that always wants to come and destroy our life. And his name is the devil. His name is Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the one that wants to stir up the hatred against Jesus Christ, the one that wants to stir up the hatred against you. But listen, because of man's depravity, they reject the love of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Because of the depravity of man, man rejects the love of God, but yet God still revealed his love. God still came. God still died while we were yet in our sins. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 8 says, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? And this is God speaking to Moses and his people. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. God says, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. Never forget what God's done. You know what? If we don't forget, it is going to guide our steps. It's going to help us to keep a right mindset. It's going to help us to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. It's going to help us to think, you know, to look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. If I forget what God's done for me, I will forget that his grace is sufficient. I will forget that his love can encourage me. I will forget that he's never left me nor forsake me. Many have forgotten. Those that have willingly laid down their life for this country. Many have forgotten what God has done for them. Many reject the love of God because of their own depravity, because of their own sinful, darkened heart, because of sin. Romans 5:12 reminds us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You understand there's not a single person who's not a sinner. Everybody's born a sinner. That's why everybody needs a Savior. That's why Jesus Christ came to die, because not one single person can save themselves. Not one single person has enough money. The richest man in the world couldn't even pay a fraction of what it costs to get into heaven. Because of what it costs to get into a holy heaven before a holy God is to be sinless, is to be righteous, is to be holy. And there's not a single human being that can meet that criteria. That's why Jesus Christ came to die for sinners, because he meets that criteria. A holy God stepped down from his holy throne, from his holy heaven, robed himself in flesh, lived a sinless life, and died a death he did not deserve so that you, I, and everyone could have freedom, could have true freedom. I know there's things in our life that we'd rather not be entangled with, financial affairs, relationships. There's things in your life that you wish you weren't entangled with. But never forget that you have the greatest gift, and that is a relationship with a Heavenly Father that knows you by name, that watches over you and wants to walk with you, and that willingly died for you to buy you back from the bondage of sin. Literally taking us out of the clutches of the devil. But you still have those that will reject the love of God. You know what that's like. You know what it's like to do good to somebody, to show somebody love, and they reject it. They just kind of stomp on it, spit on it, take what you're given and don't even say thank you. You know what that's like. Can you imagine? I heard a story one time of a young boy who went fishing in the swamps of Louisiana. His father told him not to go. Do not go fishing until I get home. The little boy couldn't wait. He went out to the fishing hole, got into a little boat, rowed himself out to the middle, started fishing. Before long, he recognized that his boat was surrounded by alligators. His father came home looking for him, heard his son screaming and crying. He knew exactly where to go. He knew his son had done what he was told not to do. And his father went to that fishing hole and saw the alligators surrounding his boat and the son panicking and the son screaming and crying. And his father swam out there, not having anything else to do, and swam out there to get his son. And picked up his son and was carrying him back. When he got back to the shore, the account is recorded that the father collapsed. He was dead. Because while he was carrying his son back, he was being eaten. He was being attacked. But his son got back to safety. His son was fine. And as the son looked at his father and looked at the father's body laying there, he looked up and saw his boat out in the middle. He stepped over his father's body and went right back to that boat. You know, a lot of people have that mindset. They don't care what sacrifice Jesus Christ went through. And they step over that and they go and do what they want to do. That's why Jesus Christ came, because no one can save themselves. That's why the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's a wonderful thing, but again, the rejection of God's love does bring a penalty. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing when someone responds to the love of God. Do you remember when you responded to the love of God? Aren't you glad that God revealed his love to you? That God drew you unto him and God manifested his love to you? There was a choice that was made. Because in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's a choice. A choice was made in your life. And hopefully today somebody makes the same choice, that they will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Acts 17:30, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." God wants every man, every woman, every child that has that knowledge to repent. Repent is turning to God. Again, we live in a world that's anti-God. We live in a country that is becoming more and more anti-God. But listen, God's still not willing that they should perish. He's still moving in people's lives. He's still using people to reach other people. Jesus said in John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, you might be sitting here this morning, you've made that choice. You've already made that choice. You made that choice a long time ago, and you know you are secure in your salvation. You know it can never be taken away from you. Well, let me remind you, encourage you, don't take advantage of it. Keep reminding yourself of how good God has been to you. Keep reminding yourself that a price was paid. Again, you know what it feels like when someone takes advantage of your love and they really don't care what you've done, or you know what? How much sacrifice it was for you to do what you did or give what you did. You know the hurt feeling. Imagine how God must feel when his children are not thankful for what he does for them. Again, it's not a moment to make you feel guilty. It's a moment to make us be reminded that, you know what? It's a day of remembering how good God is. It's a day of remembering, you know what? We have the freedoms in this country because of God. Because of God. Because of God moving in the hearts of people to even lay down their lives, but the fact that he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sin, my sin, the fact that there was a moment in your life and my life that we were faced with that decision, believe or not believe, to be blessed or to be cursed. And we accepted to be blessed. We accepted to take God at his word and to believe on his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Our destiny was changed. There was a day in your life and my life that our feet were on the wrong path, headed to destruction, headed to an eternity separated from a loving God. And yet the moment that we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart was the moment that our path changed. And God took us from that path and put us on his path that we can never be taken off of. The path that leads to those pearly gates that we will enter through one day. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I love that first part. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. every single person that believes on Jesus Christ and Him alone, they have everlasting life. Doesn't mean life is always going to be a bed of roses. Doesn't mean that there's never going to be any difficulties or hard decisions. But we're reminded that, you know what? Somebody paid the price for me, and they're not just going to let the world have its way with me. He's going to be right there walking with me daily as He was the disciples, as He was Paul, as He has been every child of God. And I'm glad that He is able to be a part of all of our lives all at the same time. When you go home, He's not leaving me. When I go home, He's not leaving you, because He's in our life. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Take your Bibles as we close and go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Looking at verses 11 and 12. Tell you what, there was a day in John the Beloved's life that he saw and heard great things, even though they tried to boil John alive in oil, he survived that. They exiled him to the Isle of Patmos to get rid of him. But yet it was there that he saw and heard the greatest things. It was there that he was caught up to heaven. And even heard some thunderings that God said, don't write that down. I wonder what that was. Those thunderings would give us the clue when he's coming back. But God said, don't write those down. But this is what John saw in verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne. That's God's throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. You understand, I know there's people in this world right now, dictators, leaders, presidents, all kinds of people that just, you know, they think they're better than God. You know what, I am my own God. There is no other God, and I'll do what I want. They're going to flee when they see God sitting on his throne. We, God's people, are going to say, there he is. There he is, the one we've been talking about. But those that reject it are going to flee. They're going to cry for the mountains to fall on them. They want to be hidden. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You cannot hide from God. Jonah tried. Jonah tried to flee from the presence of God as a child of God, as a prophet of God. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to preach God's grace and God's wrath to Nineveh. So he tries to run from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says he ran from the presence of God, but God knew where he was at. And God had already prepared a great fish, a whale, to swallow him. Not to kill him, but to give him some time to think. Has God ever done that for you? Here you find yourself in a very hard predicament that you got yourself there. And God started talking to you, because it was 3 days and three nights before Jonah decided to pray. And Lord, I guess you're not letting me off the hook. I guess whatever your will is, can I just get out of here? And the whale spit Jonah up, and Jonah hears those words from God again, go to Nineveh. What I'm saying is, we serve an awesome God who doesn't give up on his children. Because when you love somebody that much, you don't give up on them. When you have loved that much and you've given your life and you've paid their sin debt, he's not just going to let you go. Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out of his hand. But John saw this great white throne. In verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The great white throne judgment is not for you and me and for the children of God. It's for those that reject Jesus Christ. It's a great reminder that, you know what? You have been saved from the wrath of God. You'll not face the wrath of God. What you experience in your life is the love of God. And why do good things, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen in your life? Why do bad things happen in my life? Why is it sometimes we have to go through health issues? Because God wants to show his love and grace. God wants to show himself mighty on our behalf. Romans chapter 10, 13 reminds us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You remember that day? You remember that day when you were one of the whosoevers? You remember that day when you realized, because God opened your eyes and heart to realize he truly loves you? Have you had a moment in your life since the day of your salvation where you've been reminded how much God loves you? And you have renewed your relationship with the Lord? I can't tell you how many times I've renewed my relationship with God. I'm talking about being saved again, but Lord, I've messed up again. I haven't been walking with you as much as I should. I've been busy doing this and that. Because you know what? That's what you do in a relationship. It's a constant renewal. It's a constant, Lord, I'm so glad you haven't left me. I'm so glad that you know where I'm at. I'm so glad that you have not stopped working in my life. Don't ever forget how much God loves you. You know the way you're not going to forget? Keep the memorial of this book in your heart. Meditate. That's what Joshua was told. Meditate day and night that thou may prosper and have good success. Prosper and have good success in your life as you live in this wicked world. Yet you can walk and I can walk in the brightness of Christ, his glory that shines above the noonday sun. Others won't see it. Because when we read the account of Paul, his companions could not hear the voice. They sound like thunder. They couldn't hear the words Jesus was speaking to Paul. Don't ever allow yourself to stop hearing the voice of God as he speaks to you. Because it is a memorial that reminds us, I'm a child of his. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He knows me. And he loves me.